جهان ما ضبط صوت بزرگی است که صدای ما را هر کلمه‌ای که از آن صادر شود.
The world we live in is a large recording apparatus which records our voice. Every word of it.
One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity, and he mentioned this all the time and said لأجل الإنسان, because of the human.
Well, within the social activities we can count one of his greatest things that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions and تقريب المذاهب. And that's how we see, like, he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well and the different school of
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I am Atta, the host of the program The Teacher, which is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, theologians, and jurisprudents all across the nation of Islam, with the presence of two religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Dr. Rezazadeh, assalamu alaikum, brother, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
So in the first series, we dedicated the program, The Teacher, to the thoughts and works of the outstanding Shia Muslim cleric, philosopher, theologian, Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari. But from this episode onward, inshallah, we want to talk about another outstanding figure regarding, we can say, Islamic theology and jurisprudence and also philosophy, the Lebanese-Iranian philosopher and religious jurisprudent Musa Assad, mainly known as Sayyid Musa Assad or Imam Musa Assad. He was born in the city of Qom in Iran. He was considered as one of the greatest scholars, Muslim scholars and preachers of his time. His activities were not limited only to Iran, but he had massive, we can say, presence in Lebanon, and especially for the Muslim and Shia population of the Lebanon. And we can say, unfortunately, it has been recorded that on August 31, 1978, just 1 year before the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place, he disappeared in Libya. If he is alive, may Allah give him health. And if he passed away, may he rest in peace. And this is still not clear whether he passed away or he is alive. Imam Musa Assad. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you. So we had so many great figures on that time, especially at the beginning of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, and Sayyid Musa Assad and Imam Musa Assad was one of them. But for sure, we know that up to 1978, you know, we have his books, his recordings, his speeches and lectures on different subjects. How Sayyid Musa Assad was different from the other scholars of his time?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Imam Musa Sadr, as it is said in the history and his the history of his life, it is said like he was the first cleric, the Shia cleric, who went to the university, to the University of Tehran, and he had his master's over there in economics. Usually at that time it was a degree that was offered. Within economics they were studying the rights of the That was his specialization. And we can see the same work in his life, like being a jurisprudence, being a cleric, he was very much emphasizing on the economical issues, especially when he went back to the Lebanon. And obviously the Shias of that time were poor and they had disadvantages the time, and they were oppressed by the rulers of that time. So he was the one who basically helped them. Another good thing about him is he belonged to a long series of the clerics.
That's right. His family tree was really rich. Yes. That's right.
His ancestors were mostly clerics.
Yes.
And although he belonged to Lebanon, but obviously he was born in Qom, and Qom was known as the city of knowledge at that time.
We know that his ancestry dates back to the region Jabal Amal.
Yes.
This region has produced many outstanding clerics, regarding the Shia jurisprudence, Islamic jurisprudence, yes, and different fields of studies. Give us more information about his background, his forefathers, his lineage.
In his ancestors, we can take the name of his great-great grandfather, who was Sayyid Salih bin Muhammad Sharfuddin.
That's right.
And he was a highly ranked cleric who was also born in the Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And following a frantic turn of event related to an anti-Ottoman mm-hmm. uprising, he left for Najaf.
That's right.
His great-great grandfather.
Yes.
And obviously, then Sharafuddin's son himself, mm-hmm. he left the Najaf and he came to Isfahan later, after some time. And from that time onwards, they moved to the Qom, and then we can see Imam Musa Sadr being born in the Qom.
The term Imam was given to him, the leadership and the leading role that he had on that time, especially among the Shia population of Lebanon. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Dr. Reza Zadeh, whenever we name Sayyid Musa al-Sadr, the first thing that comes to the mind of the religious people is a cleric, we can say with religious gown and imama, a Sayyid, but with a different look at the religious matters. I mean, even nowadays, especially among the religious people, among the young people, they consider Sayyid Musa al-Sadr as a different cleric from his own generation. For 40, 45 years ago, this was very strange of a Sayyid or a cleric to, we can say, be open-minded mm-hmm. and have contacts with the other people, across the borders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Talk a little bit about this spirit of Sayyid Musa al-Sadr for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You are right. Actually, the character of Imam Musa al-Sadr was extraordinary, and he was a different person by all means, actually. You know, he was not only a religious scholar. He was a religious scholar coming from a very traditional religious family and a family of big scholars and mujtahids and very big names in their family. But the cause for this amazing distinction was that he was not a one-dimensional person. He was a multidimensional leader, actually.
Right.
He was a political, religious, social activist. And he actually immigrated to Lebanon while he could stay in Najaf and become, for example, a religious authority for the Shias.
Yeah.
And he had
caliber mujtahid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But when he found out that he could be more influential mm-hmm. or his presence in Lebanon is more needed there, he decided to immigrate to Lebanon in order to establish unity and unity in that scattered society. And this is something that he was really, really
successful in. West Africa, to get acquainted with the Lebanese community on that time. And this was very important.
Dr. Reza Zadeh mentioned, before he goes to Lebanon, Ayatollah Burujerdi offered him to become the representative of him in Italy. But he refused this offer. And he said, because in Lebanon they need me more, so he migrated over there.
Very good.
Yeah, and the impact that he left in Lebanon was somehow miraculous, because not only the Muslims loved him, but Christians, all the ethnic groups, all the religious groups who existed in Lebanon, because of the amazing character and the wonderful power of the leadership that he had and the level of love that he showed in action to the people of that society. Everyone in that society loved him. So he can be considered as one of the historical examples of a true leader who could unite everyone under his powerful leadership and his amazing character and charisma.
That's right. So
we can say that, yes, he was different, and this difference can show itself in different ways and in different aspects of his life. One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity. And he mentioned this all the time and said, لَأَجْلِ insan, because of the human, what we do. So, and by this very comprehensive or inclusive slogan, he tried to actually unite all those people who were very different in many different ways.
Right.
And they were really scattered in the society of Lebanon. And we see that the Lebanon before and after him was totally different. But unfortunately, that very sad thing happened. And, people, at the time of Gaddafi, he was kidnapped in somehow. Libya. He was invited to Libya and then kidnapped. And we still don't know what happened.
Yeah, this shows that his fame has gotten to, the outer borders even of Lebanon. And about his, we can say, his charisma, I have a quote from the U.S. ambassador to Lebanon, George M. Godley here, who says that he is without doubt one of the most, if not the most impressive individual I have met in Lebanon. His charisma is obvious and his apparent sincerity is awe-inspiring. In Lebanon, he had garnered significant popularity due to his rapport with young people. And this, Said Mohsen Naqvi, this his relations with the young people, he was not considered as to be a religious leader who is only concerned with the religious matters. He was considered as a social activist and, we can say, a justice seeker across the world on that time. Talk a little bit for us about this spirit of Said Mohsen Saad, his social activities.
Well, within the social activities, we can count one of his greatest things that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions. Very and good. Taqrib al-Mazahib. Taqrib al-Mazahib is usually term used within the Islam, that there are different school of thoughts within the Islam. Because we don't have dialogues with each other, that's why we basically oppose each other, and there is no environment. There is no environment of unity. That's within right. Muslims. So Imam Musa Sadr, the very we can count as a great, one of his greatest thing that he that's started right. was this dialogue, and that's how we see. Like he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well that's and right. the different school of you can say the mosques of the school of thought within Islam, and obviously because he had the he got the education in the university as that's well, right. and he has experienced those things. Okay. And as you just mentioned in the beginning, he was open-minded.
Yes,
this thing was something new for the youth.
Okay.
Because usually, in today's world, we have like different types of clerics. That's there right. are some clerics who thinks like dictators, like mm-hmm. if they are the.
The radical thinking
yeah. that they have, that okay. no one can talk to me, no one can yes. order me or object anything. There are some other scholars who openly take the questions from the youth. And obviously, you know that the youth, they are more attractive to a person who that's takes right. the question, who answers them openly. And that was one of the characteristics right. of Imam Musa Sadr.
Okay. Do you have anything to add, Dr. Reza Zadeh?
Okay. I would just mention three titles of what he did as his social activities.
Okay.
One of them that was very important, especially at that time in Lebanon, that many of the communities were very poor, he started to establish a lot of charity activities. He opened orphanages that are still active and are right. working under his name, actually, mm-hmm. and some of them. And also hospitals and other charity organizations that's that were right. very influential for the people of that time. The other very significant thing that he did, and we can mention him as one of the big names in the peacemaking of the history, he was very influential in ending the civil war that was happening in Lebanon for a long time, but he did his best in order to end that civil war, and he was successful in that.
Even he had 3-day hunger strike.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that time,
and he invited all the groups and all the different parties in Lebanon to unite, and he was successful.
Yeah, he was successful.
And that war was ended somehow.
Yes,
and then the last one that Sayed mentioned was his interfaith activities. Mm-hmm. It was really crucial and important in that society where there is and there was many different religious sects that's living right. in one place without interfaith activities. These groups were very scattered and they had a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings about each other. And there was no interfaith activities among them before him. And he understood that, you know, at that time, interfaith dialogue and interfaith activities was not common in the world.
Yes.
This is something very new, actually. Yeah. It's very recent.
The conferences and the debates.
Yes, exactly. But he was actually someone who was much more ahead of his time.
Yes.
Yeah, ahead of his time.
Yeah.
So he established a lot of interfaith activities with the leaders of different faith traditions. And this really left a huge impact on that society.
And this is what we need today, the scholars and theologians and jurisprudents who believe in interfaith and intrafaith dialogue, we can say, and bring a kind of unity among the Muslims and also the other monotheistic religions across the world. May Allah give him health if he is alive, and may he rest in peace if he passed away, because he was kidnapped and disappeared in 1978. We do not have any clear information about him being alive or not. Sayyid Musa Asad, thank you very much, Dr. Reza Zadeh.
Absolutely.
And Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi for this introduction. Inshallah, from next episode onward, we will get to some of his most outstanding speeches and thoughts and elaborate on his main points and opinions in his lectures that were delivered on that time. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners of iRib English Radio, Kalaw Islam Page, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher, which was about the thoughts and works and, in fact, a biography of Sayyid Musa Asad, mainly known as Imam Musa Asad. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com. You can download for free our previous episodes of this program, The Teacher. Also, visit our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.